Oh, you sure? I can stop it.
No, it's okay.
Y'all so cute.
All right, y'all. Welcome to the Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping podcast. I'm the Bank Trapper, and this is my beautiful wife.
The team of the banker, y'all.
And we're here to get your bank vault booming. And so we got a very, very special guest. He is very big in the mental health space. He is also a fellow ABS Tribe member. And we really are excited to have this brother on for y'all. He is just had a newborn baby as well. And so, you know, this is about family economics and how to get this going. And so it's great to have this brother here so he could talk about how he operates his home economy as the king that he is. So, you know, go ahead and introduce yourself, Brother Dirk.
Well, my legal name is Deion Antron Johnson. Growing up, I was known as Antoine Deion Johnson, and both of them is all a big mix-up. So now, like he said, I'm Brother Dirt. I got nicknamed Dirt when I was a young man by my uncle. He was Big Dirt. I was Little Dirt. So that always just stuck with me. And I love the name Dirt. I embrace it. We all come from dirt. We all will return to dirt. If you want anything organic, it was grown in dirt. So, and my brand is growing with dirt. So I'm dirt, y'all. And my nickname is Dirt the Dream Saver because I had to save my own dreams at one point in my life. And now I see how good it's feeling to like actually be saving your dreams. So I want to get that same feeling to other people, as many people as God allowed me to give it to. So y'all can call me Dirt the Dream Saver, baby.
Hey, and you are a dream saver. And, you know, I realized the importance of how, you know, this brand and this kind of mentality is needed because, you know, coming from where we come from, you know, these are the names that we naturally embrace, and it's that relatability. And so, you know, with the Grown with Dirt brand, what is it that give us some info about your interest in investing and how that ties into what you're doing and affecting the community?
So I'm happy you asked that, because I was just getting ready to do a post about I went from buying Backwoods and bottles to books and bitcoins. Mm-hmm. So
that's dope.
So like it's just a mind shift of just knowing that we was not taught properly about finances. We was not taught properly about just how money works and how the power of economics. We always saw money as like, okay, I got a lot of it so I can buy a lot of stuff, as opposed to let me accrue a lot of it so I can have a lot of power, so I can have economic freedom, so I can really do the things that I want to do in life. Because a lot of times we end up doing what we have to do. Like we have to go to work. We have to do these things. We have to do that thing, those types of things. And we sometimes just get jobs just to have more money, not as opposed to getting a job to get to a place to where we don't even think about money no more, because it's so abundantly accessible that we can actually live the lifestyles we want to live, go on the trips that we want to go on. And not just for us, our generations behind us are set up to a point to where they will can grow up with a completely different mindset. So I just like to really think about it. Like I say a lot, and I try to get people to understand a lot. Like many of us have jobs that we effing hate. We have jobs that we can't stand. We have jobs that we hate our job. We get up mad that we got to go to work. But what are we doing to change the next generation? Because we're really pretty much teaching them to go do the same things that I'm doing, even though I hate it. Mm-hmm. We're teaching them to go do the exact same steps, but you see me hating what I do, but yet I'm trying to get you to do the same thing, as opposed to not only finding a way for myself to remove myself from that situation, but find a way for my kids and their kids not to be in that same situation. So I took it as I was kind of forced into a different way of life, because honestly, I had a job that I liked. I had a job that I loved. I had a job that I thought was, okay, I'm gonna do this for the next 30 years. And then, you know, I can retire from this and just have, you know, a nice little thing, but that's only setting up me. So if I would have went that route, my kids would have ended up doing the same thing. And I was working 70 to 80 hours a week. Most people work 40 hour work weeks. I was working 70 to 80 hour work weeks because I loved my job so much and the money was so good. But I was losing my relationship with my wife. My marriage was in shambles. And I really didn't know, because I was never there with my kids. So it was so much I didn't know about them. You know what I'm saying? And so much they didn't know about me. So I was fired from my job, fortunately, all praise due to the Most High. And it forced me to really think about, like, damn, I was devoting so much time to them, so much, you know, energy to them. And I got fired for something that didn't have nothing to do with work. Like, they could have, you know, worked with me, but they chose not to. So it just made me realize that, like, damn, I really gave them all that power. Like, they had all the power over my financial security. They had all the power over my family's well-being, and I had none of it. As soon as they took that
right there, that you said, that was bars right there. Can you say that one more time with that?
I'm sorry.
Did you say that part one more time about the power, how much power they had over that?
Oh, they had all the power. They had all the power over me. They had all the power over my financial security. They had all the power over my family's livelihood, because, like, I was dependent on them and solely on them to put food on my table, to give me money. So when they took that away from me, I was in a place of being like, damn, this ain't cool. Cause I was, you know, giving them 70 to 80 hours a week. Y'all was more of my family than my family was my family, but my family depended on me to go serve y'all. Like, my family depended on their livelihood for me serving you. So when it was taken away from me, like, it made me feel so abandoned. It made me feel so like I'm doing it all wrong, that I just really tapped into the inner God, into the Most High God, and just begged and begged and begged for you to show me a different way that I don't want anybody but you to have that power over me again. I don't want anybody but the Most High God to dictate, like, what I can and can't do, where I can and can't go, because I felt so broken. I felt so lost because I was in the mentality to be ready to spend the next 30, 40 years at that job and still 70 or 80 hours a week happily, though, because I thought that that's what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So when it was taken away from me, it really forced me to realize that, like, hold on, like, this probably ain't what you're supposed to be doing, for one. And then for two, look how it made you feel. Like, now you really don't know where your next money is coming from. You really don't know how you're going to provide for the family. And you was giving them all of that. So it's like, I just realized that I was giving them too much power and giving them too much control. And then when they, you know, took it away from me, it forced me to go to the only place I should have been looking for power and control, and that's the Most High. So now I understand that you can't never let nobody dictate nothing like that for you. Like, especially when you have the power and the capabilities and the know-how. If you may not have the know-how right now, but you can go get the know-how. You can learn how to get the know-how to do that for yourself. And I saw this one quote the other day that said, one income is too close to zero. And that hit so hard with me when I lost that job, because I was like literally broken. And then but it made me stronger. It made me so much more wiser about what I will and will not tolerate.
There's a point that you hit on too that actually ties into the second question I was going to ask you. And so, being that you had, you know, because I've gone through the same thing, but I didn't have the fortune. I didn't like the job, but I worked about kind of the same hours. And for married couples, what do you think is a way that should be understood now from being in that position to what you're doing now in order to generate a healthy and wealthy lifestyle between your wife and everything that you got, more specifically, because this is for married couples and how to interact with them. But, you know, how is that, what is it that you do with your wife now that's different and that you feel other couples should look at?
For me, just mainly just being honest, because I was dishonest, like, and not just say I was cheating or just being wrong. I was dishonest about the income, like, because I had my own selfish ways that I was like, okay, long as we had enough money to pay for everything, all the extra money was what I wanted to do with it. No matter, because I worked for it, I put in the hour. So you're not finna tell me what I want to do with what. Okay, all of these is paid, so you can't question it, because this me. I worked for this type stuff.
That's your Joe part, you know. Yeah.
So the main thing I would say is for those who don't know what it is, if you really know that you love your partner, you really wanted to be honest and real with your partner, it's this book called The Private Banking Blueprint, mm-hmm. that goes over a family structure, and it puts you in a place to where you'd be like, you guys are working as a team, because your family is a business. It's not like, it's not just me, you do you and I do me, and then we figure it out at the end. Like, no, there's really a roadmap. There's really a plan to where you guys want to get to financially. So that just came into my life within the last year, and just being transparent about where the money's coming from and where the money's going has really freed up everything in my life. Not only do we have more money to allocate to different places because it's just one pool that we put it in now. It's no more, this is mine on the side, this is yours on the side. Like, you can still do that, but have it allocated. Have it, you know, justify like, okay, like when it comes in, this is going here, that's going there. So the main thing I could say about as far as couples is just be honest, set a plan, get y'all that private banking blueprint book, and just really take it serious and go through all the steps that that book teaches you, because it's going to put you in a different mind frame. It's going to put you in a wealth mind frame as opposed to we just trying to get by. Because a lot of married couples are just doing whatever they can to try to get by with no plan to really get to a better financial future. So if you got a blueprint that's laid out for you, that's working, that's proven to work, just follow it. You ain't got to reinvent the wheel.
Ooh, you putting that heat to him right now too. And hey, it's perfect. I'm glad we got you on here because you already you keep segueing it to the next question. And my next and final main question for you was, what do you see as the most important book that you've ever personally read? It could be fantasy, it could be science fiction, it could be the Private Banking Blueprint, which is definitely one of the great books, you know.
So look, I'm gonna be all the way honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a Christian church, mm-hmm. and it never set right with me. I'm not knocking the Christian religion, everything, you know, different strokes for different folks. I'm just saying I like to speak from my personal experiences because that's all I can relate to until you give me something else to relate to. So me growing up, it just didn't sit well with me knowing about how the Christianity religion came into existence, knowing about how just my ancestors, because I got a lot of family from the South, and I used to go out there a lot. So knowing that it's a lot of my people who were slaves. There's a lot of my people who that book and that religion was forced upon them. Mm-hmm. So I always in the back of my mind questioned about like, what did we study or what did we have before this was forced on us? Mm-hmm. What God did we worship? Like, okay, like what books were we reading before then? And then it used to really make me think like, hold on, a lot of slaves got killed or a lot of slaves got a beat for knowing how to read and knowing how to write. So why was they so quick to give us this book? Why were they okay with us reading this book? It's something that ain't matching up. Mm-hmm. So that was always my mentality and my thinking from a little kid. So I always had a disconnect from church and I never really wanted to read the Bible. But now my new mentors, I got to drop the plug, Jake Taylor Jacobs and Brother Ben X. One is a full-blown Muslim, one is a full-blown Christian. So it's a lot of principles that they both come from different religious backgrounds, but it's a lot of principles that Jake be dropping on me, that Jake be dropping on the world. Y'all should go check him out at Jake Taylor Jacobs. He just be saying how like the Bible got everything you need. And it's really been having me dig back into it because I got a different mindset now. Like I got a different understanding about religion. I got a different understanding about God. So now I want to go back in that book and be like, okay, because I'm reading it from a different set of eyes, from a different point of view, from a different perspective. And it's hitting home in so many different ways because I have a creditable teacher that I trust with my life. I have a teacher that's really breaking it down to me in ways that I didn't read it the other way, because it's all about how you interpret something. If some person can give you one passage and another person can give you a whole different passage. But if they teaching it to you and you don't really understand the language of the passage, the person who's teaching it to you, you're going to take or you're going to only know that their perception of it or the way they look at it, mm-hmm. as opposed to having a new teacher with a new set of eyes is telling you, you know, like you might want to can look at it this way, too. Just that newfound mindset got me reading the Bible totally different, got me looking at things like, OK, Jesus was cold. Okay, yeah. I see what God was doing. Okay, Jesus wasn't no punk. Jesus was kind of like me, like the same mentality that I got. He just stood for righteousness. And I see now looking at the world we live in, that people who stand for righteousness get treated kind of like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. So it's an understanding now that I didn't have before. So when you ask me, like, what's my favorite book to read and what's been the most beneficial book, it always has been a Bible, because the certain parts of the Bible that I liked, certain passages that I like, God grant me the serenity to understand the things I cannot change, the courage to change that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's been one of my favorite passages forever. But now I'm getting more understanding of other sections of the Bible, other things of the Bible. So, and it's helping me realize that every other book that I've read and that did something for me pretty much bit off the Bible.
Yeah, it did. And it's crazy that you say that because I have other Muslims. Obviously, we're Muslim, and I have other Muslims in my family, but I was raised Christian. And what helped push me to Islam was the same thing that, you know, I thought about too, is like, you know, what gods did we worship and things like that. And then one thing I had learned was that under law, you're not allowed to enslave a Muslim. And then I had learned about how the very first nation to give credit to the United States being sovereign was Morocco. And so they had made a treaty and they was like, okay, these people can be slaves, but it's indentured and you have to release them. But these people here, anybody with the name Ali, Day, Drew, or who represents Islam cannot be enslaved. So I was like, you know what? I'm about to go back to Islam because they done took this away and did that. And then when I went and started really digging into Islam, I found out that you have to believe in the Bible too, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was first reading the Bible, I was looking at it from that other lens. And then when I came in, and what I ended up coming to more of the style of was the Morris Science Temple, but I got a lot of Sunni tendencies to me too. But it really put it in a scientific way and really understanding. It took out all that spookism. And I got to see the Bible for the gem that it truly is. And mm-hmm. so that, you know, I felt the same. I was surprised how that book was so important my whole life, you know, so.
So I'm to veggie back off what you're saying, I'm not fully indoctrinated into like, I know that that's where I'm going. I know the Nation of Islam and just being a Muslim is where I'm going, because I know that's where my natural nature is and that's what's brought me the most peace. But what drove me to that, for anybody who may be looking and wondering, for all the viewers out there, what drove me to it is I like to look at truth. I like to look at facts. So I looked at it like what's going on in our world. Because like I said, I was at a place to where I lost my job and stuff. And this was pre-corona. And then I was already looking for truth. Pre-corona, I was at home. I was looking for truth to help find myself, find out things about myself. So I was already interested in learning more, because Minister Farrakhan only speak truth. He only just be dropping gems and knowledge just to help you get to a better place. This was all pre-corona. So then when corona hit, that's what really just pushed me to where I know I need to go as far as Muslim and Islam, because this is what happened. Like, the Book of Revelations, the Bible, Christians, all we always know about the last book and the end of days and what's going to happen and this, that, and this. And they talk about it. They preach about it all the time. But in the Christian church, I don't see any preparedness. I don't see any getting ready. I don't see any like, okay, this is what God is telling us is going to happen. How are we preparing ourselves for it? How are we going to get ready for the rapture, other than just accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? That's all they ever tell you to do. They never tell you about the thing. So when corona hit, it really just opened up my eyes to be like, and then the George Floyd thing happened, I was like, it really opened up my eyes to be like, okay, if the stuff was to hit the fan right now, and it really was to be like, okay, this is what it is, who is most prepared? Who has been preparing? Because we're looking at the events that the Bible has said is going to happen. It's happening right before our eyes. But who has been preparing themselves? Who has been living like true word to just like just this type of lifestyle that I would want to click with? And of course, we Black people, we colored people. So I love my people first. So I'm looking at the Christian church and I'm looking at the Nation of Islam. And I'm like, hold on, they've been preparing. They've been saying store the food. They've been saying separate. They've been saying do. So I'm just looking from what would I do if a civil war was to happen in the United States right now? If it was just to jump off, and it was, I hate to say it, like, we know what times we living in. Mm-hmm. So
I was living in, just didn't pay attention.
Right. So I just looked at the scene, like who was living true, who was preparing themselves, and who was really ready. And then like I said, no knocks against Christians and nothing like that, because I love my people. I'm a loving dude, but I'm just a realist. So I was looking at who would be in the best situation if I, you know, if this was to happen or if that was to happen. And unfortunately, a lot of our Christian folks they not ready. Like if the grocery stores was to be like, nope, you can't come in. If they was to be like, nope, we ain't giving you no government assistance. Nope, we ain't giving you none of this. Nope, we ain't giving you none of that. Like, they not ready for that. So it just made me really look like, okay, if I say I love my people and what y'all do, and if we always talk about Black Lives Matter and the unity and this, that, and this, but who preparing for if it was really being like, nah, you can't, we ain't gonna have you. Like, it, like, and there was a times to where you niggas wasn't even allowed in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You was a field cat. You couldn't even come in these white folks' house. You couldn't even, so it just make me think, like, if they was to ever just really want to put their foot down and be like, nope, you can't come in our grocery stores. Nope, you can't come in our hospitals. Nope, you can't. Who's been really trying to prepare us for that mindset that they have the power to do that? Just like when they took the job away from me, like, that was their right to do that. They own all of this stuff. That's their right to do that. So if we're not preparing to just be like, okay, like, it's cool, we can get along if it's cool like that, but then if it ain't cool like that, I don't need you.
Exactly. And that's one thing that we try to make, not make anybody see, but put out there for people to see the truth of, is that they don't understand that economics is warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is your... it is in your best interest to treat this situation as it is, which is a war. That's why they give us access to the foods they give us access to, because it makes you stupid and it slows you down. That's why they make parks far away from us, or have police harass parks, because it keeps you from, you know, getting into fitness. That's why our communities in themselves are over-policed. And, you know, it puts pressures in different things. And when you develop wealth and have the economy start at home, and you start looking at the how we need to view one another and separate and make sure that now, you know, we're not, you know, niggas, bitches, and hoes trying to start something, but we are husband, wives, brothers, sisters, cousins, you know what I'm saying? And that we are all a family, that we need to put all this together in perspective and build wealth amongst each other, shop with one another, be on each other's platforms, and these various things. This is the true wealth, because now once we start having our own stores and things like that, you know, it makes the world a difference. And then there was one part before we have to get up out of here. Did you ever watch Killer Mike when he tried to shop Black for 48 hours?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man. And it hit me so hard that only the NOI had a grocery store in Atlanta. Only the NOI, nobody else. And I was like if it would have been maybe anywhere else, probably, I would have been like, I could see that the NOI is the only one there. But in a place like Atlanta, where there is still deeply rooted into the South, and there's still Black farmers out there in that area, even though they're much fewer than it used to be, for the NOI to be the only ones to have a grocery store, that was heavy to me. And that just showed me how far as a people we have gone away from understanding how the world really works.
And that's beauty in itself, because I appreciate and I understand, like, a lot more than I used to. So I'm thankful for where I am, and I'm honestly thankful for where the world is, because it is a mass awakening happening, and there's many, many groups. So I just like being a vessel of the word. I like being a vessel of the truth, an extension of that. So because I'm starting to lose, I wouldn't say compassion. I don't want to say this the wrong way, but it's getting to a point to where I kind of am getting into I'm not there. I'm nowhere near there, and I will never be where I want to be. So I keep striving, but I'm getting closer to the mind of a God. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to really see that God loves us so much. And he understands that we've been done wrong for so long, that we've been lied to for so long, that he keeps extending our grace period. He keeps extending, and he's doing it for us. Mm-hmm. So now it's getting to the point to where there's so much truth being exposed, and there's so many people who have the same sentiment that I do, the same sentiment that you do, that are getting these podcasts, that are getting on these platforms, that are spreading the knowledge of truth and spreading just to open up your eyes type stuff, that window of that grace period is closing, because now people are making conscious decisions to not want to follow, people are making conscious decisions like, okay, I don't want to live that type of life. I still want to do this dumb devilish stuff. So then God's going, he's going to be okay with just being like, I sent y'all so many messengers. I sent y'all so many opportunities. So now when I drop this wrath on you, you brought this on yourself. Like, so he's been having compassion for us because we've been lied to for so long. We've been manipulated for so long. So now he's rising us up as our own people. So give them something to see. Like, look, this is your own people that's rising up and rocking with me. And look how I'm benefiting their life. Look how I'm changing their life. You still choosing to follow them. So you're going to get the same punishment that I've been wanting to get to them, that I've been sparing just for you.
And that's perfect. So being that there is not just Noah's Ark anymore, and he done sent this fleet of ships. Can you drop your info so people can follow you and hop on your wave as well, too, and ride this out?
Yes, you can find me on all platforms at Dirt the Dream Saver with two I's. That's DiirtDaDreamSaver. Dirt the Dream Saver with two I's.
All right. I appreciate you. I'm about to stop the recording
now. Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all, this is an awesome thing. And before we get out of here, I